This episode of BLT Lunch Break is brought to you by HelloFresh. You visit HelloFresh.com and you use the promo code BLT30, you get to save $30 off your first week's of delivery. Again, promo code BLT30, put it in at HelloFresh.com and you're going to save $30 off your first week of delivery.
Bart and Logan are friends who met on the internet, and Logan and Tyler are also friends who met on the internet. Yeah, Tyler and Bart are buddies too, and now it's the three of them and you. Lots of danger at every corner, fighting androids and lots of monsters. Much more than a podcast. Well, I guess it's only a podcast. And now it's time for a podcast.
Ooh. Welcome to BLT Lunch Break 41.
It feels good to be back.
See, I feel like now, I was listening to other podcasts that have this same issue where it's like, how do you introduce each other? Like, someone should just say, Bart. Like, Bart should say Bart, and I'll say Logan and Tyler. So you'd be like, welcome to BLT Lunch Break 41.
But you know I'm going to screw it up. I'm just going to say another name.
Yes, like, but like, at least...
already did.
Yeah, but
you
like...
just did.
Let's try it right now, okay? Welcome to BLT Lunch Break 41.
Bart.
Logan.
Tyler.
See, it's kind of good.
Is it?
Is
it?
BLT.
No, I like it.
I kind of like it.
Wait a minute. Did you just do a jingle?
He
BLT.
Did.
BLT.
Well, I mean, that's in the song. I don't know if you heard it.
WNBC. WNBC.
So, movie. It's been a week. Bart, you've had a week to recover from our... Whenever Bart and I are together, it's like an 18-hour adventure.
Or I don't sleep a lot, that's for sure.
Which is strange, because it's not like either of us are like, we go party. It's just, you know, at Christmas lights together.
I was saying, and this last trip was stone cold sober.
Mm-hmm.
So...
I'm stone cold sober.
Tough. Hey,
speaking of that, how is No Bender November going?
It's going. What is today? The 16th, 17th, 17 days.
Halfway there.
So, I mean, I'm not like, somebody asked me, do you have something planned for December 1st, you know, to jump back in? Because that is a Friday also.
Ooh.
And I always call Friday night my drinking night, because it's the night where I just kind of, after everybody goes to bed, I
stay
up late.
Leave daddy alone.
It's my drinking
night. I get caught up on the DVR. I try to write, which never works out well. And I have a few cocktails. But here we are, day 17. So I've had, what, 2-3 Fridays go by? I'm not very good with math, and nothing.
That was tough.
But I don't know. I don't think I'm going to see. I'm kind of thinking I'm just going to see how far I can go. I'm definitely, by the time I get to, when I get to Disney in the middle of December, I mean, let's face it.
All bets are
off.
It's
over. That's when No Bender November officially ends, is December, we'll say, sometime between the 12th and 15th.
And you may be coming back for New Year's Eve. So if you come back for New Year's.
Oh, heck yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, I'm coming
back.
It's
booked. Yeah, it's happening.
Just figuring it out.
So
it's just logistics. But
last
yeah,
year's New Year's is going to be hard to top.
What'd you do last year?
I was at a wedding. It was like
that sounds way easy to top.
It was like a $600,000 wedding. It looked like something in James Bond. Like the doors opened up. It was like, da-da-da-da. Like it was a big villain's lair, you know, with a penguin suit. You know, black tie event.
Oh, I was immediately a penguin suit. I just thought of just
sorry,
like Danny DeVito.
Well,
you know, penguin suits.
You know, ain't that what they call it? Like a tuxedo, like a penguin suit.
Uh-huh. No, I got it.
And it was like a $50,000 open bar. Yeah.
Did they advertise how much everything cost? Or are you just guessing?
No, no.
That's weird to be like on the invitation. Well, by the way, it cost $600,000.
We knew the bride's dad. So,
And he was just like
he was
like, guess what? Guess what? Oh, well, that's intense.
Yeah.
Last year we went to Widespread Panic on New Year's Eve at Bridgestone Arena. So and some random people ended up seating with us, and strange things happened, and it was bad. It was bad news, but it was a fun night. This year I'll be back at Bridgestone Arena though, because Jimmy Buffett is playing New Year's Eve.
Strange things happen.
Well, things that would have to, we can't really talk about on the air.
What did we call it? Not safe for work?
Not safe for anywhere. Yeah. It was a fun night. It was a good New Year's. I like New Year's. New Year's underrated. A lot of people crap on New Year's. I like New Year's.
They do?
I think so. People don't treat New Year's when you get to a certain point in your life like it matters. And I'm like every year, I love New Year's. New Year's is maybe like top three for me because I've always do so- we always do something typically, except for a couple night years we had the kids. And other than that, like we've gone out. We always have fun and do something memorable. Make
it that's what it is. When I when we don't have like the last few years, we haven't done jack on New Year's. So I've been one of those people. What's the big people make a big deal about New Year's Eve? What's the big deal? But then inevitably, by midnight on New Year's Eve, I'm like sitting home alone. This kind of sucks. I wish I was out doing something, you know. So that I think it's, you know, like I always say, the people who say like money can't buy happiness, they're always rich people to whom it doesn't make a difference. When you don't have plans, you're like, New Year's Eve sucks, you know. But actually, when you have plans, you're super hyped about it. Like we used to have, when we only had one, even when we only had one kid, we would have a little party. We'd have a few people over. And, you know, I've told you before, back in the day when we first got married, we used to spend New Year's in Aruba for a couple years running because we had friends that had a bunch of timeshares in a resort down there. They're the ones that rented the bar out at the end of a pier in the middle of the ocean, and we had a big cover band playing, and I'd get up and sing Jimmy Buffett with the band at midnight, and had just this bar full of people, just our friends and family and stuff, and it was a blast. But yeah, so those are the years that I couldn't wait for New Year's.
Well, yeah.
What's that?
I haven't quite gone that far. Mine usually involves like an arena filled with smoking, and it's just not great.
Slipping.
But it's fun.
So this year, we're going to get a bottle of scotch, karaoke machine.
Aruba.
Aruba. And Bart is going to sing Jimmy Buffett. Sure. Right?
Some of that could happen.
We're going to name the karaoke machine Aruba. This is Aruba.
My plan is to be singing Jimmy Buffett, that's for sure.
Yeah. We're going to be there. Right. Huey Lewis in the news.
With the ultimate karaoke, with the ultimate Jimmy Buffett karaoke experience. Jimmy Buffett.
Exactly.
Show your age.
Yeah, no, everything ends in the up. I did hear one. I almost texted you because I was listening to Margaritaville Radio, as I do sometime. And there was a version of He Went to Paris from like 5 years ago where he actually sang it. And I was like, we need to write this down. Because this is like a version that's, and he did it in Paris. And I'm like, maybe when he goes to Paris,
he's
like,
it in French?
No, he doesn't really sing his songs anymore. Like, I love Jimmy Buffett. No problem. Like, love him. But the songs are very talk singy now. Like, they're not necessarily.
Okay. And he loves to throw out little extras that he thinks are funny. Or like, I was just thinking, every time he sings Grapefruit, Juicy Fruit live, there's a line where it says, what does it say? If I had that money, honey, I'd strap you in beside me. And he goes, in your strapless.
Yeah, every time.
What the heck does it have to do?
But so to adjust for that, all the songs don't really get, a lot of them don't get sung, at least the way they were recorded. I know you hate that.
So it's like Elvis in Vegas.
Yes.
Right?
Kind of. It kind of.
Ain't nothing but a hound dog. Hey.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
My favorite Elvis.
I hope my pants don't rip out, baby.
Bob Joyce. So that's the problem. So like Jimmy Buffett, a lot of times, unless he does a song by himself, sometimes when he comes out and does an acoustic version of a song, he still does perform it. Like he performs it how it's written, but he sings it with like passion.
Right.
When it's just him.
Right.
But a lot of times he comes out and it's like, I can't even impersonate it because it's how Bart did originally. It's like, everything just kind of goes up on the end. And he starts singing, it's like, mother ocean. It's like, what? Like,
yeah.
And he's like, I heard you call.
I don't know. That sounds interesting.
A lot of question marks on the end of every question.
I think it's twofold. I think part of it is he's losing his voice.
Yeah.
And the other part of it, because he's getting old, he's like 70. I think the other part is he found out, he did a song many years ago called Why Don't We Get Drunk? I won't finish the rest. But he changed one line towards the end where he says, I just bought a water bed. It's filled up with Elmer's glue. So, and people thought that was hilarious. Now, that was like 1979. And he struck gold. The problem is once he figured I did something funny, now he tries to do it on every song. He has to throw in some throwaway line. It's like, you know what? The joke worked once, twice. Can we move on? Yeah. But anyway. But yeah, he always says that way. He ends it in kind of just a weird, almost a question.
Yeah, everything ends in a question.
Elmer's glue!
It's like the Ron Burgundy teleprompter. Like, who put the question mark there? That's what it feels like for most people. So, like, there's one version I finally heard. I was listening to Radio Margaritaville, as I do, program number two on my presets. And my presets are sad. They're the
stepped on a pop top.
Number one,
my flip flop.
Jam on just, the jam on.
I just see you driving down the road. You know, it's 30 degrees outside, and you're singing.
Yeah, I do.
Margaritaville.
Weep. Yeah.
It's when you need
it
most.
I do
want
to see really badly the Escape from Margaritaville the musical coming to Broadway, which I would expect it to have been horrible.
Wait. I just when you tell me that title, you know, like Jimmy Buffett is opening that retirement home community, I'm thinking like some old people are trying to escape the Margaritaville retirement community.
It's Escape to Margaritaville.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I messed that up.
It's not Escape from.
It's Escape to Margaritaville, right? It's not like Escape from L.A. or Escape from New York. It's not. Captain Ron isn't there trying to get us.
These grandkids try to take their grandparents to Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville, and they don't want to be there, so they try to escape.
Yeah.
Like, that actually sounds interesting.
Escape. Amanda's here in the studio, and she said it's Escape to Margaritaville.
Okay.
But I was kind of like, you know, the theater nerd in me is going to nerd out for a second.
Can somebody please make the poster for Escape from Margaritaville?
As the Broadway nerd, a little bit, I love theater, but there's jukebox musicals are not notoriously known to be awesome. Like, there's a few. Mamma Mia has, like, struck gold. Like, a few of them that have done really good jobs. But usually a jukebox musical where they take a bunch of person's songs and make a show out of it, not usually the biggest.
I was about to ask
what that is.
Yeah.
Eventually, if you take a bunch of pop songs, put it together, and you make a musical that tells a story with those songs. A lot of times it doesn't work because it's forced.
Turn the beat around, the Gloria Estefan story.
Right. And a lot people love that one, though, too. I don't get it, but
it's a real musical. It's real, by the way.
Oh, I know.
I didn't make that up.
Amanda and I had to decide last time we were in New York. We were going to go see the Gloria Estefan musical, or we were going to go see...
It's called Get On Your Feet. Not
Get On Your Feet.
Who knows? What's the difference?
But those are not usually the musicals I like to see. I'm hearing incredible things about this Jimmy Buffett musical. People are raving about it. Lin-Manuel Miranda showed up to a showing, performed Margaritaville on stage with Jimmy. I guess whoever wrote some giant, great musical before that was a big hit. So I don't know. I'm actually very much where I was kind of like a little bit like, if we're there, maybe we'll go matinee, go see a little Escape from Margaritaville. I'm going to make a trip for it.
Can we just talk about how this guy pretty much built an empire on two songs? Like, think about that.
One song, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's just incredible. Like,
yeah.
I want to applaud the
guy. He's a marketing genius.
Yeah.
But he also admits, I mean, he's the first one to tell you this is all based on one. He had a bunch of misses, and he got one hit, and he's turned it into a $1 billion industry. So
we just
sent him some money the other day.
Yeah, and he has, you know what I actually really like about the, and this is not an ad for Margaritaville, but it feels like it, there's actually pretty decent quality control on the stuff he puts out. The merchandise that's put out,
absolutely.
Or the restaurants that are put out. It's not like Kiss, where I love Kiss, but they'll put Kiss on everything. Like, if you have $100.
Listen, Logan, wait a minute. This is Gene Simmons from Kiss.
Oh, no.
You knew
I'm not
was
having
coming.
To be smirching. Listen, I've been banned for life from Fox News.
I just can't
believe
that's
the greatest rock and roll band in the world.
Oh.
What?
Sorry.
Well, you're not going to keep going, Bart?
I didn't know what Logan said.
I don't know.
Gene, what were you
I said.
Wait, hold on a second. Gene's here in the minivan. Gene, what were you saying? I said, listen, the people at Fox News, they've banned me for life. They've given you some cockamamie story. You know, Kiss is the greatest rock and roll band in the world. I go on Fox News in the morning. Their ratings spike. I should charge them for their ratings. You see, it's a big misunderstanding. What happened was,
how does he?
You know,
do
back
this?
In the 70s, back in the 70s, you know, we replaced Peter Criss, the ungrateful Peter Criss, with Eric Carr, who portrayed the Fox. You know, and what Kiss did is, see, we trademarked the word Fox. You may not know this, but Kiss, the greatest rock and roll band in the world, also owns the word Fox. So I presented Rupert Murdoch with a bill for $1 billion for the last 30 years for using my word Fox. I'm also going to present a bill to Disney for Robin Hood and Zootopia, and they kicked me off the station.
It's an interesting time to be a Kiss fan. That being said, did you know, fun, weird Kiss fact, the few of the trademarks he doesn't own, he doesn't own the Fox. This episode of BLT Lunch Break is brought to you by HelloFresh. We've talked about them last week. We've talked about them before because HelloFresh knows that you guys are busy and that you love to wear that busyness as a badge of honor. While the holiday season can creep towards a bit of chaos, there's a festive hustle and bustle you should take time to enjoy. And in the spirit, HelloFresh says, go ahead, embrace the hustle. Embrace the bustle. They'll be there to calm the chaos down. And in the meantime, they're going to do shopping for you. They go out. They do the shopping, the planning, and the delivery. So you have all you have to do is hustle, bustle, and enjoy. They include the recipe card, so it's really easy. So someone like me, who's not necessarily the greatest in the kitchen, can get in there and get it done and spend more time with my family during this festive holiday season. You choose your delivery day to keep up with your holiday schedule, and they will help you stay afloat during the season. I know it can get intense, but our friends at HelloFresh, they take care of business. And here's what you need to do. You need to tell them you heard about it. It's here. And how do you do that? I'll tell you what you got to do. You go on over to HelloFresh. Find it. You're going to go to their website. You're going to check out HelloFresh. And then what you're going to do is provide them with a code. And that code is BLT30. When you visit HelloFresh.com and you use the promo code BLT30, you get to save $30 off your first week's of delivery. Again, promo code BLT30. Put it in at HelloFresh.com and you're going to save $30 off your first week of delivery. They've been great people and they support us here at BLT Lunch Break. So take a look. It'll change the way that you cook for your family. It'll change the way you interact with your family. Make cooking fun again with them and you can enjoy it. It is at HelloFresh. HelloFresh.com. Again, use that promo code BLT30.
I don't think you can own the word.
No, fox. No. He doesn't own the fox. He owns, you know, the Ace Frehley brand.
I actually own the animal, the fox.
Well, he owns motion pictures.
I bought the rights.
He owns
from
that
God.
Term. You know, he owns the trademark to the term motion pictures.
Wait, what?
Really?
He is a trademark for the word motion in relation to a movie company. So he actually owns motion pictures. He also owns the trademark to the money bag, like that you've seen on like.
I knew that.
Like the bag with the money.
Gene Simmons.
He owns the trademark to a money bag, though. There's got to be an easy way around that, because his is very weird looking. It looks like an upside-down muffin with a dollar sign on it.
Well, true.
It doesn't look like...
Well, I don't know how defendable
like,
these are, but he does.
What are you talking about? That is the money bag?
He does own these trademarks, and...
That's not good
weirdly,
for Scrooge McDuck.
He doesn't own the trademark to the Fox character that Eric Carr portrayed, or the Vinnie Vincent Ankh Warrior character. But I think they may have settled that. And don't get me on the Vinnie Vincent train, because y'all know where that's headed. We've already done that before.
And so, rest in peace, Eric Carr, by the way.
Eric Carr was the best. That era of Kiss, much like I like Elvis. I like Vegas Elvis kind of the best.
Hey, nothing but a hound dog. Hey.
I love that version
of
Elvis.
You know, I'm going to do that every time you talk about it now.
As I kind of love the era of Kiss that's Eric Carr and Vinnie Vincent. And then Mark St. John and Bruce Kulick and all of those guys.
I think, you know, if I were an aspiring screenwriter, Tyler, what I would do is I would write a movie, not of, but based on the life stories of Eric Carr and Vinnie Vincent, or at least Eric Carr. Eric Carr's is a tragedy, actually. It's very sad.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you could never afford to do the actual story because you'd never get participation from Gene and Paul. And, you know, from most accounts, those two really screwed him. What do you mean, doesn't matter?
You don't have to have the rights to
sub
up
a
story.
How you? Yes, you. Because he owns. Doesn't he own that? Yeah, you couldn't show the
you
demon
can't
makeup.
Sell it.
Well, no, you could use the. What you could do, your workaround would be, is you do a deal with Vinnie Vincent or Eric Carr. They still own their story,
right?
Regardless of
how
who
you tell it,
right? And like, it's sort of like the Steve Jobs movies. Those are based on books, not based on, not approved necessarily by his estate. So maybe I've been through that once or twice.
I guess.
Projects I've worked on.
It wouldn't be the same if you couldn't actually use Kiss music and the Kiss
the music
costumes
is the,
and stuff.
The music a problem. The costumes are vague because that would be a thing.
Yeah.
But definitely the music you'd have
That's
to
true.
Get approval.
Yeah. And it wouldn't be the same if you couldn't use the music. So I think it would be better just to do a straight up fictional movie with original songs, but just tell the story. I mean, there have been a lot of movies like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, because Eric Carr's got a very sad story.
He does.
So,
one of our listeners, Williams, has one of Eric Carr's drums. We like send messages back and forth with all the Kiss memorabilia we have. I don't have that much. He has, though, a lot of legit. He has a full on Gene, like, gear with the with the axe and everything.
I'm glad to know you do this with other people. So, instead of with, you know, like
no,
me,
see,
it's
me,
Disney
we,
memorabilia.
Yeah, we'll talk
with,
Disney.
Like,
then
Marvel.
I have a Kiss guy, and we talk Kiss all the time. have a podcast buddy. We share podcast stuff. So no, it's part of the thing. Hey, I was going to bring this up earlier. Go ahead, Tyler.
No.
I felt something. I felt the presence of you talking.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to bring this up and I talked to you. Have either of you guys played HQ, the new app?
Boy, that was a nice segue.
It is. I've been wanting to talk about it.
I was still into music. I was going to talk about Conway Twitty.
Okay, let's talk about Conway Twitty.
No. Let's talk
Conway
about this
Twitty.
App.
Conway Twitty lived right near you.
I was
Twitty
just
Twitty City.
He was like a second dad to my dad, and I always wanted to write a film on him, and I thought it would be funny because since my dad was there, you would have to cast somebody to play my dad.
Yeah.
Like so if I ever wrote a...
Gee, who would you cast that looks just like Ronnie McDowell?
Ooh, I don't know anyone.
Huh?
You just dye your
who
hair.
Could you just put just a, who hair. Could you just color
oh,
their
yeah,
hair?
Yeah, it's you.
No. That would be.
Look, you are the spitting image of your dad. You're not his son. You're literally a clone that they made out of
you.
His own
thank
DNA.
You. My dad's
You're identical.
He's a good-looking man.
Yeah, my dad's a good-looking fella. I'll take it. Thanks.
Was your dad blonde?
If you look at that picture that Logan put on the BLT listener group page of the three of us sitting at the bar, I look at him like, that is Ronnie McDowell with a baseball cap on.
Ronnie
and
McDowell
dad, and dad wears
like
a baseball cap every day. So
okay, I was about to say my version of Ronnie McDowell, he never wears a hat.
Yeah, every single day.
Yeah.
But anyway, so this app.
So you guys are
good
gonna
segue.
Love this. Good segue. Well, also Conway Twitty. Yeah. He lived pretty close to you. The house is still there. You can visit Conway's house, owned by TBN, by the Trinity Broadcast Network. But you can still tour there. We used to do shoots there. So if you're in Nashville and you want to see, they still have the big Tweety bird up on the side of the building.
And the brick. Fence says, hello, darling.
Yeah. So I like that they kept that when they redid it 30 years ago. But when they did it, there's still some history there. And now it's Trinity City. Was Twitty City? Now it's Trinity City. But
I was just going to ask, whatever became a Twitty City?
It is now owned by, like I said, by TBN, by the Trinity Broadcasting Network. You can go there, though.
Every day.
Yeah. You can go and visit. And
now Conway was always paired up with Crystal Gayle, right?
Loretta Lynn.
No. Crystal Gayle's her
Loretta
sister.
Loretta Lynn.
Right?
Why did I say Crystal Gayle?
Because it's her sister.
Oh, that's true. That is her sister. Yeah. That's why.
Is that right? Did I just pull that out of nowhere? Is Crystal Gayle Loretta Lynn's
I'll
sister?
I'll be honest with you. I don't think so.
Did I invent that?
I don't know.
They're not marketed together, but somehow the reason I said that out loud.
Crystal Gayle was
as if I just knew that.
Ah.
I think I was possessed by the spirit of Conway Twitty, who may have told me, by the way, Crystal Gayle's I can't do a Conway Twitty. Can you do a Conway Twitty?
No,
that's one you got to work
Hello,
on.
Hello, darling.
Oh, man.
Yeah, sister Crystal Gayle.
Yeah, boom.
I didn't
know
that.
See, there you go.
That is so strange.
I out country music all of you.
I'll tell my dad that. He'll be like, yeah.
He's like, we dated.
No. I think my dad did like Crystal Gayle, though, because I mentioned to him one time, I was like, man, she was a good looking woman. And he was like, Yeah, she was.
That.
I was like, okay.
let me tell you a few other things off mic.
She still performs every now and then, right, Crystal Gayle?
Yeah.
Like at the Grand Ole Opry, she's there fairly often.
Loretta Lynn, I think she's trying to get back at it too, because she was down there for a little while with some health issues, but still going strong.
You think Crystal was ever bitter and like, I was proud to be a coal miner's daughter too,
Yes, I have a feeling that conversation happened.
Yeah.
I mean, because
you weren't the only coal
Everyone
miner.
Knows Loretta Lynn. And I feel like if you're a country music fan, you know Crystal Gayle.
Right.
Like, it's like there's the name
That's
brand.
True.
You know what
That's
I mean? Like Loretta Lynn is a national.
I was just to say, because Crystal Gayle had her own career,
absolutely.
Nothing like.
No.
Yeah.
Her
hair,
she
like.
She was kind of a. Yeah, her hair was. She was kind of a product of the late 70s and early 80s. Like, I think of Loretta Lynn like country royalty. And for some reason, like, how far apart are they in age? Can you Google that or look it up on Wikipedia? Because I feel like there must be a great divide between them. Because I feel like Crystal Gayle was popular in my lifetime. Now, I'm a little older than you guys. But Loretta Lynn was already kind of a legend when I was a little kid. Whereas Crystal Gayle kind of had her career in my lifetime.
Yeah, she was best known for a 1977 hit, Crystal Gayle. So you were what? Yeah. How old in 77?
I was two in 77. Just like I was two when Elvis died, or did he? And then I remember Crystal Gayle being on the Muppet Show.
So you were two when
Show.
The King Is Gone came out.
Yeah. He remembers it the first time I heard it.
Wow.
So Crystal Gayle, and they are pretty far apart in age, like 20 years
That's
apart.
That's what I figured.
Loretta Lynn is 85 years old, which, goodness, I mean, she does not look 85 years old. That's crazy. And Crystal Gayle is 66. So
she don't look a day over 82.
Her album with Jack White from like a decade ago was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Loretta Lynn and Jack White. That record is unbelievable.
I had no idea. Yeah. Sorry.
You didn't know about that?
No.
Amanda's like looking at me like, what?
It's a great record. Great record.
Just throw something at me. It's fine.
Great record.
I'll duck.
And you can visit Loretta Lynn's. You can visit everyone's home. Now, is that Loretta Lynn? Who owns the... No, you can't visit Loretta. Who owns...
played Loretta Lynn's ranch recently. It is not. It is in Tennessee, like West Tennessee.
White House? I ate Loretta Lynn's ranch.
No, it's like 2.5 hours away.
Who lives in the woods? Who is the woods at Fondale? That's Loretta Lynn?
Oh.
That's not that far. That's like 45 minutes.
What?
I don't know. Maybe we're talking about different Loretta Lynn.
No. Hang on a minute.
I'm pretty sure there's only one.
I don't think it's Loretta Lynn. It's somebody else. Dylan, who wrote our music to BLT, he actually performed. He opened up for Loretta Lynn every night in Branson when he was a child.
Hurricane Mills. I knew that.
He was Little Merle in Branson. And you'd go see Loretta Lynn and...
Think I'll just stay here and drink.
Yes. He'd come out and sing funny songs that were... He's too, you know, just too little to sing. But now he composes all of our music. But Barbara Mandrell
This was Dylan?
Yeah, Dylan. Look up Little Merle, Dylan Spears. You can
that
actually
was
still
spilling
buy
beers?
Spilling beers, Dylan Spears. You can if you look up there's a trading card you can buy. There was a Branson set of trading cards, and Dylan is one of them as a little boy with a big giant hat.
I'm disappointed. I kind of want an action figure of Dylan.
We can get that done.
You can make one.
Yeah.
At least get a Na'vi figure.
I have one if you want one.
That is the biggest ripoff. I'm sorry. That
they
is
don't
literally
look like anybody.
Just a blue
it
blob.
Is literally just a head. Like they have like probably 10 male heads and 10 female heads. That is it. Like, and it sucks so bad because didn't they do like a 3D printed Star Wars figure that actually was your face?
I have a Han and Carbonite. And it is legit.
The difference is you had to wait.
So
for
why
it.
Wouldn't they do that with the?
But I had to wait
figure.
Weeks for that one. So maybe it's so you can pick it up. Like I'd order it and then they ship.
So
it
you
to
can
it.
Take one home.
How? I mean, with technology the way it is,
so
and 3D
is it not
printing,
that? Is it not a 3D
no.
scan of your face?
No, they do that, but it's all a gimmick. Like it is the same heads. There's literally like 10 heads in all, and that's it.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah, like you have a wide head, they give you a head with a little bit of a wider head. Like you know, anyway.
They're just like maybe a little bit of detail on it, switches it up.
They paint it differently. Yeah. Like there's probably a machine back there that like paints something on it, but you can look at
it's
them
like
all.
Almost like, it's almost just like printed on a face.
Yes.
Yeah, because the one I have is like if you look at it from the side is my profile. Like it is
Polo. It is not that
it's
at
not
all.
That. See, no. I think it's awesome.
And they go, well, we mix it with Na'vi DNA. Okay.
Here's Dylan Spears. I'll post this. There he is.
That is wonderful. I've never been on a trading card.
Well, if you ever get a show in Branson, I don't know if the time has passed for shows in Branson, but I feel like it, like that kind of show, like a full-on. Branson and we went to like 10 years ago, 11 years ago, and it was in an interesting state 11 years ago. So I'm not so sure how it is now, but we saw some great shows.
I don't think I've been to Branson in probably 7 years.
Yeah. That's the thing. I don't think it's a
place right now. Last time I was there was when the new generation Camaro was coming out.
Okay.
And we were all excited.
I was about to say, you
and we called a Chevy dealership in Branson to see if they had one, and we all went over there to look at it. And I sat
We got
in
one.
It, and I literally was like, this is going to be my car.
One
and, I,
day.
And I
you
one
Wayne's,
day,
you
like,
Wayne's
I had,
world it.
I had no idea
it
that I actually
oh, yes.
have that car. Like, when I set in, like I was like, yeah.
So. I'm going to drive it from Branson.
Yeah.
Was that the Transformers model Camaro?
Yes,
Bumblebee
sir.
Bumblebee version? That's what I figured.
Yeah, when we went, it
was... Yakov Smirnoff left Branson, so what's the point?
Yeah, we saw him last time. The Yakov show, not...
Wait a minute. Can I say this? Point is to my story, ladies and gentlemen.
You drive
if
Camaro.
If you can dream it, you can do it.
There you go. I feel very emotional right now.
See, Amanda liked that.
She did.
See?
I just try not to laugh because I want people hearing just...
Well, hey, man. You know.
I don't know. Branson. I don't know what we're talking
you
about.
You want to talk about this app. And I
know.
I want to talk about Fantastic Beasts.
We'll talk about both. But Branson, to wrap it up, last time we were there, we saw that Yakov Smirnoff show.
Mm.
I was expecting it to be like a straight up, let's go see a stand-up. And no, it was a theater that held probably 2,000 people. And everyone was over... 75. I mean, it was 80. Right. Like, it was not like, it wasn't like, oh, this crowd is like the crowd that goes to a Prairie Home Companion. This is like, this is a crowd that's even one step. Like, at one point, we saw Tony Orlando, and he came out and was like, we got any World War II vets here? And like 20 people stood up. It was unbelievable. I mean, it was incredible, but it was like, I was not expecting that.
Logan got to his feet in honor, and then he's like, oh, no, wait, not me.
Oh, no, no. different online, Battlefront. But the shows were pretty good. Like, Yakov, though, did like a whole stage show. It wasn't a comedy show. It was like him coming to America, and I did not love it. And I'm a fan of his stand-up, and it was mixed funny, and like by the end of it, they're like playing the national anthem, and people are crying. A lot of tribute to the troops in these shows. But we saw Tony Orlando and the Lennon Sisters, and that show was great. And then we saw Andy Williams, and that show was phenomenal. Andy Williams' Christmas, I am so glad we got to see, because it was if you're not familiar, Andy Williams ran a Christmas special before we were all born, I think. Maybe not Bart, but before we all were born.
He was still doing him when I was little.
And I think he was still doing it even when we were very little. But we used to watch the tapes. Like, they used to play him still. So I'd watch them growing up. It'd be Andy Williams. And it's like a variety show. And then they did a show in Branson where they kept that show.
I zoned out for a minute. I'm sorry. I got
sorry. I was talking about Andy Williams. Do you know anything about Andy Williams? I know. Everyone's laughing in the studio except me.
Sorry. I'm laughing at everybody laughing. Yeah. Does that help?
No. Andy Williams.
He does sing my least favorite Christmas song.
Oh, don't you do it, man. That's the best Christmas song.
It's the holiday season.
Oh, no, that song sucks. No,
I
hate that.
I'm going to go get another coffee. No, I'll be right back.
But, like, the most wonderful time of the year is, like, top three Christmas songs.
Go get me a coffee soda.
Hey, you know, if you were here, I'd buy you one because they're free.
If I were there. A lot of ifs.
I don't know what I'm saying. People are texting me. This show is going
to hell. I didn't even hear what the F is.
That is a good one.
Oh, man. Oh, let's talk about that app.
See, this is what people like. Like, this is the randomness.
They like to see a train wreck and at the end of every show.
Except for that one person.
Yeah, except for that one guy.
Except for that one
guy who he did say not nice things about me, and I edited that part out. But he just, my favorite review I've ever gotten in my life just said, this is the weirdest podcast I've ever heard. Or no, it was I don't remember what the title was. Maybe weird. And it was, this is the weirdest show I've ever heard.
I mean, I'm like, I am obsessed with like how people think about me. Like, you know, so like
reviews matter to you.
Yeah, I care about what people think. I know I shouldn't, but I do. But for some reason, that comment just made me laugh.
Exactly.
Like, I was like, yeah, I mean, that's the point. Like
you missed this entire, like, no one explained to you, like, this is just us talking. Like, yeah. There's no...
About anything and everything. That's what I love about it most. Like, everybody asks me, like, oh, what do you guys talk about? And I always say the same thing, anything and everything.
And then we said there's two things we want to talk about today. We're probably not even going to get there.
Right? We'll get to that next week.
Right, exactly. Oh, okay, our guests are stepping out. Okay.
Bye.
Where y'all headed? You can yell. It's fine. Lunch. All right. Enjoy your food. I'll hit y'all back.
Where y'all going for lunch?
Where are you going for lunch? They want to know.
I don't know yet.
They don't know. All right. Love you too. See you later. All right. Goodbye, guests.
Goodbye, ladies.
Bye.
Now we're going to talk Harry Potter nerd out. So sorry. We just disappointed them.
One was wearing a Space Jam shirt, so it's okay.
Yes. One. Like, one was wearing a Space Jam shirt. One. Ooh, it's like 11. Like in Stranger Things. See ya. Bye. All right. So, I don't remember where it was. Let's go Fantastic Beasts. You want to talk about this?
Yeah, no. Bart, your take?
Yes. It's a really dumb name, but I'm excited for it because
why? Because you said this too, and like,
just
I didn't
clumsy.
Think...
It's not The Crimes of Grindelwald. I mean, I get it. That's very much a fan title. But like, to the outsider, they're like, what the heck's a Grindelwald?
Well, and I will say this about it, because I'm right there with you, Bart. I do think it's a bad title. Like, maybe not bad, just odd. But someone said, I missed the days when J.K. Rowling's titles gave mystery and, you know, you didn't know, like, Azkaban and things. I said, well, to the average viewer, this is mysterious. They have no idea what that word even is.
Yeah.
the crimes of Grindelwald, and that invokes curiosity.
If you haven't seen the first one,
yeah, they
want to
exactly, and they want to know who Grindelwald is. I think it's odd because of the colon, and I think Fantastic Beasts was odd. Like Fantastic
colon
Beasts
is just odd in general,
right? But it's like Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Like, what are you going to do after that? Like Fantastic Beasts and How to Tame Them. Like,
yeah.
That would be the only route. So I don't know why they
found them.
Exactly. I just don't know why they didn't just be brave about it and call it Newt's Commander. Like Newt's Commander and Fantastic Beasts. Newt's Commander and the Crimes of Grindelwald. Like,
yeah.
I feel like that would be better to me.
More fitting. Yeah, I
like
don't
the Fantastic Beasts. So this implies that Fantastic Beasts are still involved.
Well, I'm sure they are because
the crimes of Grindelwald.
That's like a fantastic.
Yeah, but that's Newt,
his whole
that's
thing.
Newt's,
is
that's
it?
Newt's commander's
yeah,
whole
he
gig.
Controls
he's
all,
the animal
he has,
guy.
He collects all the animals. Yeah. He loves
so
animals.
I'm sure there will
they
be.
Love him back.
It's Fantastic Beasts, the crimes of Grindelwald. It doesn't make
animals.
Sense to me. It doesn't make sense.
I guess you're true. That's true. If you're thinking about it as like Fantastic Beasts. Like, this is a horrible example,
like,
but
as
like
the title
like,
is
right. Like Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery. If this is Fantastic Beast, the Crimes of Grindelwald, that does make you think Grindelwald is a beast.
Right.
You are right. I will give you that.
See,
that makes a lot more sense.
Odd.
I kind of accepted Fantastic Beast just as okay. This is going to be which is what it is. It's
I
going
like
to be the
that
franchise
International Man. I'm
going to
use that as a meta, like yeah. as a, my example now because yeah. it's true. Like
yeah.
What?
And whatever the second Austin Powers is called. The third one was Goldmember. I can't remember what the second one was called.
The Spy Who Shagged Me.
There we go.
You know what? It's just the same.
I do need to go back and rewatch the first one, though, because looking at that cast picture. I've heard rumors that that's going to happen, too.
Can I just interject really fast that I was hoping... When this whole, well, now I just wanted to say, like, with the Austin Powers thing, as a filmmaker, I wanted, and Bart, I think you may or may not agree, I think you will, like, when this whole, you know, gritty James Bond and stuff came out, I was hoping they would do a parody of the gritty Austin Powers.
That'd be incredible.
Would that not have been great?
There's still time.
You think, though? Because
that
I think
actually
we're
would
kind
be
kind of getting
funny.
Out of it.
Yeah, but the last ones were going.
The gritty Austin Powers, you know, and they start the trailer. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Oh,
you know, and
Terminator.
He throws the. Oh, sorry.
That was, yeah, that was the Terminator.
But I mean, you know.
Yeah, that was, wait a minute.
You know, in a train cabin somewhere, you know,
right.
glass being thrown, and then it's Austin Powers, and he's all like bloody, you know, and his suit's ripped
just take
up.
It seriously. Like, I would love the idea if they just took it seriously.
I think it'd be great.
Well, Mike Myers, if you're listening, the Gong Show didn't quite work out, so maybe.
Oh, it didn't, did it?
I gave it a chance.
Okay, sorry, Bart.
Really, I thought it was hilarious, but let's not go down that road.
Yeah, I interrupted.
I will say, like, the we saw the cast picture, and there's a character in that picture that I thought died in the first one.
All right.
What I'm talking about?
Ezra Miller.
I mean, it's not really a spoiler because he's apparently alive. I was wrong, but
oh yeah, why
into
is
a big
he
giant cloud?
Yeah, I would just have assumed he died. He's the Flash.
I mean, I thought he was.
Yeah, that
is the Flash.
Yeah, that's something I didn't even think about. I just kind of took it for what I like. Oh yeah, but you're right because it does kind of give away because there was a mystery at the end because there was a little piece of him, you know.
Yeah, but now it's confirmed.
Yeah, now it's confirmed he's back.
Let me say, aside from him being, I can't remember if he died or not, and aside from the clumsy title, when they announced Jude Law as Dumbledore, I was kind of like, huh? I wasn't disappointed or happy. I was kind of like. Well, I didn't see that coming. That's not what I would have expected. But seeing him in that picture, I'm 100% all in.
I think that's true for everyone.
He looks harsh. Yeah, it looks awesome. And he actually kind of looks like a young Michael Gambon. It's almost like his face filled out a little bit. And for my money, as much as all respect to Richard Harris, the fact that that he sadly passed away and they cast Michael Gambon was the best, just was serendipity because Michael Gambon is my favorite Dumbledore by far.
Yes.
He's amazing in that part.
He may not look like
she described in the book the way Richard Harris looked like Dumbledore the way she described him, but Richard Harris could never have pulled off what Gambon did in the last five movies. So, and the fact that Jude Law kind of resembles at least a little bit a younger version of him, I'm so excited.
It is not a far leap.
Richard Harris and him were good friends too, weren't they? I think they were.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah,
bunch of old English guys. I hope he has more than a glorified cameo in this. Or I hope that this is leading to a standalone Dumbledore movie, like a young Dumbledore movie, because that would be awesome.
Well, everybody was kind of, on the videos and stuff I watch online, people were getting frustrated because they were like, well, they sold this Fantastic Beasts things to us as like a new, cool, you know, Harry Potter spinoff. But really, it was a prequel in disguise. So really, it's the Dumbledore story. Like, it's not Newt Commander.
It was always a prequel.
And see, to me, it always had to be a prequel. So, like,
yeah, no, that doesn't bother me at all. I disagree with that because I look towards what Star Wars has done with something like their cartoons, like Rebels, where Rebels is a completely new set of characters. Mm-hmm. But in the first season, by the end of it, they had started to show Darth Vader shows up. You know, they've started to bring it. And now if you watch Rebels last season,
wonderful example.
You have a lot of the original characters showing up. And they've brought that story up to pretty much the present of the original trilogy. So to me, I like that concept of we're not going to go completely. It doesn't make sense Darth Vader would exist in this universe. He should not exist. So he may not be directly in contact with them, but he certainly should exist. Just like in this, Dumbledore should exist. So I have no problem with that. I actually like that because it gave us breathing room with these new characters to really like them. And now to get excited about it again, because they're not new and fresh characters, we now get the return of people that we love. And I love Dumbledore, so I'm very excited.
Yeah. I was a big advocate.
And I'm going to say, there was nothing about the first. I didn't even see the first Fantastic Beasts in the theater, and you know how much I love Harry Potter, but it never felt like a Harry Potter movie to me in any of the marketing or advertising. I'm like, I don't know who these people are, and I didn't feel compelled to go. Now I will definitely see this one in the theater because, okay, here's someone I know, and here's someone I'm invested in and care of. Now I've seen the first one since, and I liked it. It's okay. I still don't feel all that endeared to any of the characters. Except maybe the only thing I will say is I like the character of what's his name, Walter, the
Kowalski.
Guy, just Kowalski. The regular guy, Dan Kowalski,
the everyman.
Because finally, we have someone that is us in this world. You know, that we get to live through someone who would be like us in the wizarding
world.
He's
like the C-3PO.
I like him, but other than that, no one, even Newt Scamander, didn't really. I wasn't that taken with him.
It's so funny because that's you said some of the things that I said to Logan when I walked in today. Like I showed him a picture of Jude Law and I was like, can we not just admire for a minute how like much he looks like Dumbledore?
Yeah,
like
no,
it's amazing.
There's
and
not
then
a leap.
I told him that I was so happy to see that Kowalski was back because he was my favorite character. I did like Newt. But Kowalski was my favorite character, and I was literally, I was like leaning up in my seat, like pushing myself off the theater seat, like when you know,
erase
spoiler,
memory.
Yeah, spoiler alert. I was just like, oh no, you don't. Like I loved that guy, so I was so glad that he came back or that they wrote him back into it.
Yeah, I look forward to it. I love him as an actor. I'm not sure his name. What's his actual?
He's
Dan Fogler.
Dan Fogler. Dan Fogler, and he appears like we were talking about in. In the Goldbergs pretty regularly.
Tonight. Does he?
Yeah, because Adam Goldberg, who co-wrote Fanboys with the guy that wrote Ready Player One, obviously Adam Goldberg, who created the Goldbergs, so they bring him into that. He plays he plays Murray, the father's brother, so he plays like their uncle. And he's a terrific character.
Murray, the father's brother.
he's a terrific character. I love his
roommate.
Character in the Goldbergs. If you haven't seen the Goldbergs, he's in that. He also is in the movie Fanboys, which is a – there's a love letter to Star Wars fandom, and if you love Star Wars, you should watch it. If you don't love Star Wars, you probably won't get as much out of it, but a great movie, and I'm really excited for him because I feel like I've been on this journey with this actor for a long time because Fanboys was a long time ago, and so was I'm trying to think. What was another movie he was in? Dodgeball.
Balls of Fury.
Balls of Fury, that's what it was.
Balls of Fury.
Not Dodgeball.
Oh, that's right.
Not even Dodgeball. This was
And he was in an 80s theme movie called Take Me Home Tonight with Topher Grace and Anna Faris and Chris Pratt.
I like that movie.
About less than 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It was okay. It wasn't as funny as I wanted it to be, but tons of 80s music. But you know who he's been signed or supposedly going to play for years now, and it's never happened? He was supposed to play Sam Kinison in Bill Kinison's book, My Brother Sam.
Oh, he'd be perfect.
Apparently, and there's footage, I think you can probably find on YouTube, of his screen test of him doing Sam Kinison in a club somewhere. And it's supposed to be amazing. I've actually never seen it, but I've heard about this footage of forever. So I don't know what's going on with that movie, but I wish they would get that made.
Oh, yeah, there's a screen test as him as Tony winner, Dan Fogler. So I guess he's a Broadway guy as Sam Kinison. So yeah, I'd love to see that. I'd love to see that era of comedy is intriguing to me because I didn't really get to experience it when it happened. Like I was aware of who Sam Kinison was when he'd passed away. Even Dice and some of these guys who I was too young to appreciate because I sort of, I'd say the next generation of like the Pauly Shores and those are probably when I started to even your Jeff.
Son-in-law, baby. Oh,
it's a great movie. Even your the 90s era of comedy is sort of when I got into it. So I'm sort of, I love that era of the 80s and the 70s comedy that I never really got to experience. So I'd love to see that.
I remember clear as day the day that Sam Kinison died when they broke into MTV to say it. Because yeah. I was in like junior high when Kinison just like went huge.
Right.
And I remember like, you know, watching it when my parents weren't home. Like we'd go to the video store and rent the VHS of Kinison's special and just like crack up, but not even understand half of the jokes.
Right.
You know, we're just like, oh, he's swearing and he's screaming. Yeah. And I remember seeing, I went to see Back to School,
oh, yeah.
Rodney Dangerfield movie.
Great movie.
In the theater. I had really great parents. They would just drop me off the theater and I'd go see whatever I wanted. So, and I loved comedy.
See, mine was the same, but like, my dad would just come with us.
Yeah. So I remember going to see Back to School, which by the way, featured your friend Jason Hervey. But as a young Rodney Dangerfield.
A good friend.
But
a good
friend. Kinison played. That was like his, I think that was probably his first movie role. He played a history teacher because Dangerfield kind of discovered Kinison and loved him. And so from there, we would like rent, we would go to the video store and like grab the VHS and check it out and run home and watch it before our parents got home. Cause if they caught us, we'd be in a lot of trouble. But so Kinison had a big, like Kinison, even yes, Dice, Eddie Murphy, like, you know, these specials, like these were, I loved comedy as a kid. And
yeah,
so did I. Man, I remember the day Kinison died. I was just like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, what? And I guess I didn't really understand like what addiction was at that age. And I mean, 92, I was what, 14? No, I wasn't 14. I was, I guess 16. I must've been 15 or 16 when he died, but it still didn't really sink in. I was like, okay, he did drugs and he partied, but I don't still entirely understand, you know, but
yeah.
Talk about a life story, too, to go from an evangelist to what he was.
Yeah, crazy. Know. In my version of that, I feel like the gut punch, I really remember, like, a lot of celebrity deaths, I weirdly have, like, I have a different memory of when, like, Jerry Garcia passed away. People that I just was, even Kurt Cobain for that, where Tupac, yeah. I remember it happening. I remember MTV News breaking in and telling me, but it didn't necessarily affect my life at the time.
Tupac's still alive.
Okay, you know what I mean, though. When they announced Tupac had died. I have very specific memory, but like none of those people.
He's a pastor in Alabama.
Like, oh, there's Tyler. Sorry. I don't really know anything about Sam Kinison. I was shown a video years ago about one of his routines where he called someone's ex-girlfriend on the stage and called her out on the phone. It was pretty hilarious. Yeah. So I couldn't really interject there.
No, but what I'm saying, you probably could interject here. It's like, and maybe you could say, like, the first celebrity death that I remember, like, affecting me was Chris Farley. And I remember, like, I can tell you exactly where I was. We were driving to my dad's office to pick up my brother, who was there with his friends, and they just broke in the news, hey, Chris Farley had died. And that was, because I think I was about a similar age that you were at Kinison, because that was probably that was, like, 97, 98, when Chris Farley died.
Farley, something like that.
Yeah, like and
my wife killed him.
All right.
That shut him up. My wife saw him in a bar shortly before he died in Chicago, and he's standing there, and she walked up to him and said, how's it going, Chris? So I guess it was like super crowded. She said something about it was hard to get a drink, and he's like, this is such BS, and he slammed his fist on the bar and was like all sweat. She said he was sweaty and just a mess. And she went back to her friends and said, I just met Chris Farley and he's going to die.
Yeah.
And then like he died like 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
Like that. So I always say, you killed him.
Yeah.
You cursed him.
I've cursed a few people in my life, but usually it's because I don't get to see them. Like I had tickets to the last Prince concert, didn't get to go.
Don't ever buy tickets to my show.
I left the Daytona 500 early and Dale Earnhardt died. These are the things that have happened to me.
Yeah, you're not buying tickets to my show.
When Stanley canceled a Wizard World the first night I was there, I was like, oh, no. What have I done?
Oh, my God.
But he left, and he's still left.
When who?
When Stanley did. But I remember that, like Chris Farley.
Oh, Stanley.
Like, I remember being like, just had a gut punch. And there's only a few times I feel like with a celebrity that's happened. One that happened very similar to you, to that Fallen story is I saw Mitch Hedberg 2 weeks before he died. He played here at Zanies. Huge fan. My favorite comedian of all time is Mitch Hedberg. And my buddy was with me, and we said the exact same thing. We left saying, this is the last time we're going to see him. Like, you could just see it, and you could tell the way he was interacting with the audience, that this was not a good place, and he wasn't the person he was before. But you had stuff like him, and even with Farley, who were like devout. Farley was like a devout Catholic, like every was in mass, you know, who was party crazy, but then was a devoutly religious person. So really interesting, very similar with Kinison, like a very mixed bag of person, but just geniuses. So that's brought down the room.
Chris Farley is a rabbit
this
hole
is
for me.
Sand.
I think he truly, well, when they say gone too soon,
like, oh, yeah.
I mean, amazing. I think there's a story, and I don't know all the details. I think it was Chevy Chase, maybe, who went, I have to look it up, but he went and saw Chris like 2 weeks before he died and said, look, he said, you can go out now. And you'll just be a flame. You'll be, they're going to forget about you. Or you're at the top of your game and you can be a legend for forever. And then 2 weeks later, he died. And that always resonated with me that even his friends knew, you know.
Yeah, but I everyone mean, just, knew it was going down that path.
And you just watch his stuff, man. Just, it's so funny.
Yeah,
like,
it's great.
I mean, like, even in movies that wasn't his own, like Happy Gilmore when he's the bus driver.
Right.
It was Happy Gilmore.
Right? No,
Billy Madison, right.
Madison, yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to turn this bus around.
Yeah, he killed it in the cameos. That's a brilliant guy.
That Veronica
Mars is one fine piece of...
No, I didn't. He ate all the lunches. I loved it. Loved it. But I don't know how we got to sad, depressing comedian's death. But
so this app, Logan, what is that?
I'll bring us out of this hole. All right, so this app, there's a new app.
No.
All right, we're going to go. It's called HQ.
Are they our sponsor?
They're not. I wish they were. But I don't know anyone involved. I have friends of friends who told me about this thing. But like 100,000 people are on it right now or so. And what it is every day at 2 o'clock, which for us recording now is about 30 minutes, so I'll show it to you. At 2 o'clock and at 8 o'clock at night, they go live with a live trivia contest, live video, streaming a guy talking to you, and you're on there with 80,000 people, and the winner wins $1,000. And it is – it's hard to explain without downloading it, but it is
– sounds like a pyramid scheme.
No, there's no buying in, nothing.
I'm just kidding.
It's going to – and the thing is, the winner – sometimes winners have to split it because it's 12 questions and only it takes about 10 minutes to play.
Like signing your soul
so
away.
So some people only win like $15 if, let's say, like 20 people. You know, it's split up with how many people win at the end. But sometimes it's been one person when I've seen it. Sometimes it's been 10 people. But it's every day at 2 and 8 o'clock, and it is addicting. And you'll see our whole office here and at like 1:58 when they get their push
how
notification.
Is this not gambling?
Because you're not spending any money.
Huh?
You're not putting any money in.
Oh, yeah, duh.
You're winning money.
Duh.
So it's free for you.
But
and
if you win, how do you get paid?
They have a payout system on there that you set up.
You have to give them your information?
Well, I'm sure. But yeah. I don't know how they pay you without
information. Yeah, I don't know. Let's just let Logan do this.
Send you cash? No, it's the, I think it's the same
PayPal?
People that.
How about they
it's
put
the same
it
people.
PayPal account.
I think it's something like that. I think it's the same people that created Vine or were part of creating Vine or have started it. I'm not sure if that's right or not. But it's really fun, and I've had a good time playing. I haven't beta passed question 4 on the 12 questions. The first 3, you're like, I got this. This is for babies. And then there's ones that stump you. Like, there's one question this week was about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and it was what pizza place sponsored the first Ninja Turtles movie?
Pizza Hut.
That's right.
Pizza Hut.
But in the film, it's Domino's.
Domino's, that's right.
What?
Right.
Ernie Reyes Jr. Drives for Pizza Hut.
Right. And I guess it's Ninja Turtles movie 2, it's Domino's. But the first one, they're the only people that eat in New York, by the way, that eat Pizza Hut and Domino's are the Ninja Turtles. But no one's but
hey, I like Domino's, just saying.
Oh yeah, because it was Domino's in the first one because he lowered it down through the sewer grate.
But the Pizza Hut
it always
Pizza
bothered
actually
me that,
was the sponsor.
When Michelangelo grabs the pizza box, he's holding it like completely sideways, and it always made me angry because I'm like, your pizza would be ruined.
Sliding everywhere. You're an idiot, Michelangelo.
Plus,
killed it.
Do you know the guy that played the pizza delivery guy in the first movie is the guy that's inside the Raphael suit? Actually, it's the guy that does Raph's voice. I'm sorry. I don't know if it's the same person, but it's the guy that does Raph's voice, is the Domino's delivery guy in the first movie.
Yeah, you could also look for a Kevin Eastman cameo there somewhere.
Can we get back to how there's this company of 10 people that's stealing everyone's credit card information, and 3 months from now, did you download the question. App HQ?
I have not had to put in anything. I actually don't even go by my own name. You put in a username, and then I think once you get once you win, then they'll ask you for that information. So I put in I think they may have put in my email address, I'll be honest. I think that's probably how I log in. But they did not ask for my banking. They didn't ask for any of the stuff to pre-set up payment.
Can we have your routing number, please? we'll give you $15 if you answer this question.
I'll send y'all both referral codes if you'd like one. I'll do a referral code for everyone that's listening. Let's do referral code BLT.
You're going to be responsible.
It's not valid.
For 100, 1,000 people.
Then I get free lives.
No.
All right, BLT lunch break is my referral code.
My God.
It's still not valid. I don't know how to set.
Nope.
Guys, this isn't working on for me. So let's say Logan BLT.
That's probably too long.
Logan BLT.
BLT
my
pod.
Referral card was not valid. I don't know what to do. Just download the game. I didn't use it. Why can't I set this up? All right, fine. I'll just do my name. Nope, still not valid. Okay, I don't know what to do, so forget it. I'm not adding.
It's a scam.
I used a referral code, though, my buddy Rob Johnston, Vine Superstar. If you've ever used your GIF keyboard, he's the guy who pours a giant cup of coffee on his head. Just type in coffee. It's the first one. And he's walking around here somewhere. He didn't get paid for that GIF keyboard. We've been talking about it. I feel like he needs to take on the man.
Did you just say Vine or GIF keyboard?
Both. They took a Vine. He was a Vine star.
Hey, I had 5,000 followers on the Vine.
There you go.
And I was verified.
There you go. He had a few hundred thousand, I think.
La-dee-da.
And he's a star.
Ah.
But I don't remember how many he had on there. But he was sort of that guy. He was a Vine guy. And if you go to your GIF keyboard and type in coffee, it's like one of the first ones. It's him. It looks like he's a cup of coffee. And he pours and it goes all over his head. Yeah, I've seen that. But he doesn't get paid for that. So I've told him. I was like,
I've never seen that. Oh, okay. All right. I'm losing my mind. I was thinking of the emojis.
No.
Okay. I was like, I've never seen an emoji with a guy pouring a coffee.
It's that second one there. There you go.
Oh, okay.
And actually, it doesn't finish up. The finish is he pours it on top of his head. It's a giant cup of coffee. But he gave me his referral code, which I used, but now I can't make one. This stinks. This was my big plan to get a bunch of free lives because I don't have any lives. If I get knocked out, it's over. But my friends who have lives, they can come back to life because you miss one and you're out. But it's a really fun game. I'm just saying it's fun. I've had a really good time playing it.
This is what you've wanted to talk about all day?
Not all day. I mean, it's been an hour, man. I'm just saying it's a fun thing. It's a fun new thing. People are going to get on this thing. Next week, you're going to be like, everyone's talking about this. And we were early. We were early adopters. Let me see if I can use
Everybody's talking about this.
Everyone's talking about it.
The app that steals your card.
Okay, I was able to use the promo code or the referral code. Let me see here. Looks like Logan S. So use Logan S, and I think I make
Logan
something.
Logan S.
I don't know, though. Logan's. We'll see if that works.
Right.
Oh, yeah, it is through PayPal. I just checked. You can cash out your balance through PayPal.
Then this, okay.
Bart,
that's fine.
Did you
I feel better about that?
Did you talk the missus into moving down to Nashville?
Well, I got to find employment first.
Oh.
You know.
Why?
I can't just.
Tyler's like,
that's excellent.
this is not the way things work, man.
It's worked out for some people, I guess.
Well, we'll get you down here. But she's going to come for New Year's.
We're going to come for New Year. We'll talk her into it.
Yeah.
Keep your credit cards and just download this game. It's an app called Snoopy Pop because I've been obsessed with it for the last 2 weeks. I can't stop playing. It's one of these stupid bubble breaker games.
Snoopy
but it's
Pop?
Peanuts game.
He says, ladies and gentlemen, save yourself.
I literally.
Save your cards.
Download one that has
anytime
all
you
the
see me on my phone now, I'm playing Snoopy Pop. That's all I'm doing because it's so frustrating. It's worse than Angry Birds. And I'm not really a game. I don't play a lot of mobile games.
I'm downloading Snoopy Pop right now.
Oh, no.
I think I downloaded it for my kids, and now I can't stop playing.
Oh, you know what? Wait a minute. Do you know what I just realized? I swear I just now realized this. We never watched that Robin Williams movie.
Never.
I know you didn't. I was
we gave
ask.
Up on that game.
Was, We should have put it on the. We should have watched it in the screening room. Is what we should have.
Yeah. have you ever released an app, Bart? You ever done an app?
No. Someone actually, when the first Years of Steel came out, somebody asked me if I was going to do an app, and I didn't really.
Well, you have to have a lot of engaged people to make it worthwhile.
I wanted to make.
What are you
one
trying to say? Wait, well, hold on a second. What are you trying to say, Logan?
Like thousands upon thousands of people to download your app. To
That's
be
the
really
second
worth.
Time this week you've implied
you
I don't
have one just for fun.
You can have one. I helped develop a game during the political season called Ted Cruz in USA. And it was,
yeah, that's pretty clever.
God.
It didn't take off, but it was fun. I think it's off the App Store now in the new version. I think we got rid of it. But it was Ted Cruz and USA. And it was hilarious. And Will was the voice of Ted Cruz. And it's like, hey, everybody. It's hilarious. And you just, I'll find someone who still has it on their phone, and you can play Ted Cruz and USA. And one of my buddies is like an app developer, and he had some grand plans. But I think it's such a tough market to break just because there's everyone and their brother has a darn app. Everybody and their brother got a darn app.
I'm still thinking about how we didn't watch that movie.
I don't even remember what it's called.
And no listeners. No,
no one wanted to see that
no
movie.
No one commented and said, hey, what y'all think about that movie? And in Bart's defense, I did want to see it because it was a Robin Williams movie
I want to see
I've
it
never
too.
Seen.
I just never, I never gave it a shot. Bart, how you doing, buddy? I know we're getting long on time.
Yeah, I got. I've tried to tell you six times that I need to wrap up.
Sorry,
man, I didn't hear it once.
Especially, are we going to talk about our HF? Or are you going to do that separately?
Oh yeah, I'm gonna have to put that in later. So y'all have heard an ad already. So thanks to our friends at
HelloFresh.
We have
a wonderful sponsor, and I'm sincerely telling you that even if they weren't our sponsor, it's fantastic. So I was a big fan.
We have a sponsor, HelloFresh.
Oh yeah,
HelloFresh.
But I
had one of the best burgers of my life that we actually made. My wife and I, well, she made it. Who am I lying? But I did make a pork tenderloin with a kale salad, which sounded like something I would never eat, and it was delicious. So
there you go.
But yeah, we need to start wrapping up. It's I got to get back to work. It's raining. I'm sitting in the middle row of my minivan, the new mobile studio, which is actually quite comfortable.
Yeah, sounds nice.
But more importantly, I just have to pee, so
we got to wrap up. Same here. We got to go get lunch.
Hey.
We're going back to Moe's Barbecue in your face.
Jerks.
Sorry, man.
Enjoy your Dunkin'.
I want those nachos, man. Well, those nachos that Dylan and Will got looked like.
Oh, yeah, they're nachos.
Otherworldly. But I got to go back to Biscuit Love, too, because I can't stop thinking about
that's
that.
That's right. You guys went to Biscuit Love. Dude, that's one of my favorite places.
Brisket Love. No.
What?
No, nothing. Sorry. Oh. No, we did go to Biscuit Love. It was very good.
Bart.
What did he say?
I said Brisket Love. It's different, but never mind.
Oh, Brisket Love.
There's also a whiskey.
Bad joke. It could be their spinoff.
Yeah.
Bart, in honor of, I guess, the old days, what did we learn?
I don't know. What did we learn? That you can have your personal account information stolen by.
Hey! Listen!
My trivia ass.
You're going to see in 20 minutes when you play this thing, you're going to be like, all right, I'm in.
Just kidding.
I'm going to fund my entire next TV show on this project. All I got to do is win the game a couple times and got a show funded.
One TV show at a time. Slow down.
No, I'm talking about that show. I'm funding it by winning.
Oh, wow. Well.
Okay. All right.
Oh, what a story. They funded it with trivia. I'm getting sweaty.
Tyler, you're better now. You've gotten better at the what did we learn. I've kind of lost the fire.
I was keeping notes.
What else did we
learn? I didn't keep notes this time. I was having too much fun.
That's good. That means there was no lag in the conversation.
Yeah.
No one. There was no awkward moments.
We learned we both think the name of the new Fantastic Beasts movie is weird, but Judd Apatow. No, what's
his name? Judd Apatow. Judd Apatow is his Dumbledore.
Judah Friedlander. What's his name?
No, what
Jude,
you
Jude
say?
Law.
Jude Law.
Judah Friedlander. Judah Friedlander. from 30 Rock.
They all look fantastic as, you know, Judah Friedlander would look fantastic.
He's got a good beard, though.
He's got
a legit beard.
Yeah. And with his trucker hat.
Yeah.
It just says Dumbledore.
It says world's greatest Dumbledore.
Oh, we would have learned, if I wouldn't have forgotten, we would have learned that Newt Scamander is actually in The Prisoner of Azkaban.
That's right.
His name is on the Marauder's map.
Yeah.
Oh,
it sounds like you're saying Newt's commander
in the first one,
Newt's,
which is going to be our
Newt's
mock, like,
commander.
Like, Newt, who is Newt's commander? I am Newt's commander. There you go. That's our mock
monster. His name,
commander.
Newt's commander. Oh, I tickled a funny bone.
That's good. Newt's commander. I gotta write that down.
That's a cosplay costume waiting to happen. You're like a commander but you're Newt's commander. You're Newt's commander. Oh, we killed Tyler. All right, wrap us up, Bart.
All right, well, folks, it's been a riveting episode. Sorry we're not in the studio this time, but hopefully, again, soon, you'll see all of our faces on Facebook. But only if you're following along, only if you're a member of the BLT That's listener right. group.
Go to see my picture on the cover.
That's right. And that's it. The boys are going to head off to lunch. I already had mine. Had just a boring old ham and turkey sandwich and a bowl of chunky soup. But folks, whatever you're having, you know we mean it when we say, we hope you enjoyed your lunch. Goodbye, gang.
See you.
See y'all.
All right, and stop.
What, no Mickey Mouse?
What, no?
God, I forgot.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Wow.
We're going to have an oh, boy off. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
There you go.
Wow.
All right. See you, Bart.